Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast. Using my sportscasting background, I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players to gain more insight on what makes this team go. As the Detroit Lions enter a new gritty era, we'll look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we take a look back at the Detroit Lions' Week 14 loss to the Chicago Bears. Falling 28-13, we discuss the loss by Detroit. We'll look at what went wrong. We'll discuss pivotal moments in the game, concerns and takeaways, as well as where things stand with the division and playoff scenarios. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
Hi, everyone. This is Herman Moore, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
I'm joined today, as usual, by James Cook, the senior sports writer for the Traverse City Record Eagle. You can also hear him on the Get Around podcast that drops on Mondays. James, good to have you here, even after a loss.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
You know, as we get into it, heads up, we have a new logo out there. Just wanted to give people a heads up on that. We've updated it. Don't want that to throw you off. It's still us just making that update. And also a reminder to listeners, please hit the subscribe or like button. That is helping us build momentum. Well, James, of course, this game is not what the Lions fans wanted to see on multiple fronts. So let's start with the coach himself. Here's what he said after the game.
We knew that was a good team. That's a talented team. They're playing good football. And we knew we had to play well. And we did not play well enough. So, that's credit to them. You know, and that's a tough pill to swallow, but it is what it is. I thought we played hard. I thought we did some really good things at times. But honestly, it was the discipline. I mean, the penalties cost us today. And that's really the story of the game.
So Coach Campbell said it right there. The story of the game was discipline. I mean, we're talking penalties. 8 penalties for 59 yards. Some of them that seemed to come up at crucial moments. Plus 3 turnovers on the day. Now, not all those were equal, but still not good. So, James, what's your reaction to Coach Campbell right there?
They can say, you know, penalties and turnovers are two things that are going to kill you. But not coming into a game with a clear-cut plan has bitten them in the butt, it seems like, the last few games. If you're just a fan who intently follows the Lions and knows the players and the personnel, you're just watching some of these games and going, what's the plan here? What was it you were trying to do? Or did you just think you would walk in and win?
Yeah, those are some great observations. And I think a lot of reactions that a lot of different fans have. And so you and I usually start with the things we liked, but I want to start the show a little different because I felt like there were some very key moments that were pivotal that had the potential or did shift this game one way or another. I wanted to break those things down first. And I think the first one that I saw as pivotal was the Lions were down 10-0 after one quarter. And it was like, what the heck? Okay, not a great start. But the first pivotal moment was in that second quarter. Chicago had the ball 4th-and-1, and they went for it. And Ifeatu Melifonwu came up and made a huge stop, and he got help from another teammate there. It might have been Okwara. But that gave the ball to the Lions. They went down the field. They scored back-to-back touchdowns. They're up 13-10 at the half. I mean, I thought that was going to be the turnaround of the game for the Lions. How about you? What were you thinking?
I mean, yeah, after it was 10-0, I was just like, what is going on here? Then they turned things around. You know, they were up at halftime. Things were feeling good. And then as what seems to be their modus operandi of the last few weeks, they don't change much at or make the adjustments. Or the other team just makes better adjustments at halftime. And the third quarter is not good.
You're absolutely right, James. I mean, the third quarter has been pivotal, right? That's nothing new. And I'll say I've been put into the middle of the third quarter. I mean, obviously going three and out to start wasn't good, but it was Fields got sacked and that made it third and long. And then the Lions got pressure. You thought maybe he fumbled the ball. They called it an incomplete pass, but they didn't call it intentional grounding. And so it's fourth and 13. And then, I mean, I don't know, I'm watching the game and I'm like, there's no way the Bears are going to snap this ball. Just look at it. And it's fourth and 13. And Hutchinson jumps off sides, makes it a free play, turns into a touchdown. And it wasn't fourth and one. So it's not like every foot mattered necessarily. I just, that play was killer. That sequence of events was killer for me.
Yeah, that was a really bad one. And you hate to see Hutchinson do that. It was unnecessary. Had he not jumped off sides, yeah, like you said, I don't think there's a decent chance that they snap that ball and run that play. But then they had a free play. So when you have a free play, you chuck it and go big. And they did, and it worked. What Jerry Jacobs was thinking on that play, I don't know. And, you know, that led to him being pulled from the game. I mean, you saw them play Vildor, who's a guy who they just signed to their practice squad a week or so ago, and is a 29-year-old free agent. And, you know, they started playing him in the second half. So I don't know what is going to go on next week, if Jacobs is going to get his job back, if we're going to see them, have a turnstile at the other cornerback spot and just try it out guys here and hoping one of them fits. Who knows? But it's certainly troubling.
Yeah, that was there were a few defensive changes that we saw in this game, and it does make you kind of wonder what the situation's going to look like going forward. We're going to look at that, some of the storylines coming out of this. But it was almost like not everybody was on the same page on the defense on that play, and so that was just a killer play. And then before the quarter can end, the Lions get the ball back, and there's a fumble, and they showed a replay, and the exchange between Glasgow and Goff, there was almost like a double clutch on Glasgow. And so you're not sure if that threw off the timing of when Goff was expecting to get the ball, but it was a fumble nonetheless. The Bears got it. And there you go. They gave up a touchdown. They turned the ball over. And then that really hurt, because then you go into the fourth. The Lions are trailing 25-13 because the Bears went and got another touchdown. And the Lions went for it on their own 31-yard line. And they needed 1 yard to get it on fourth down, and they didn't get it. I think they lost. And Campbell was asked about it after the game, and he said the Bears threw him a curveball on that play call, and he didn't elaborate, which I'm not expecting him to. But obviously it didn't work. And so that also sequence of events right there was also pivotal, because the Lions had a chance to get back into it after that mistake on fourth down. They turned the ball over, and then I don't know, going forward on your own 31-yard line when your offense is just not clicking on all cylinders, that also is troubling. It was not a good day all around.
Yeah, and going forward in that situation tells me that Campbell has no faith in his defense to make a stop in that situation, that he has more faith in the offense to convert a fourth and one at your own 30-something yard line than he does in punting and the defense getting a stop. So that's troubling as well. When Campbell would go for it at the 40 or the 35 in the other team, but going for it at your own 30 is something else.
Well, I think the reason he did that is, and we're going to get into this later as well, is that the offense is supposed to be the strength of this team. And so you're going to have to take some risks knowing that your offense is supposed to be a top five offense versus your defense is middle of the road. But in this situation, I'm not a fan of it, because I mean, the offense didn't score any points in the second half, and the offense looked like it was a car backfiring at times, where it would go and get into gear and start cruising, and then suddenly something would happen. So that's, I think, the thinking behind it, but I think the practice just didn't work.
Yeah, and I mean, and you didn't, and your offense, their offense was sputtering. I mean, you had basically the second bad game in a row by Amon-Ra St. Brown with virtually no production, and several crucial drops in the second half, which you were not used to seeing from him at all. So that raises an eyebrow. You know, you did have the first half. You know, I liked what they were doing on offense. You know, they were running the ball, they were setting up the pass, they were mixing in different looks, different players at different spots. I mean, you even saw that one screenplay where they had Sewell lined up at wide receiver out wide and blocking. They telegraphed what that play was going to be, but they still gained yardage on it. You know, and then just playing a couple of guys out of position, you know, with Wright playing fullback, you know, with Malcolm Rodriguez not really seeing much time on offense this time. You know, so they were doing some interesting things, ran a couple of reverses. But in the second half, they didn't really show that. And they had ran the ball so effectively in the first half, and then they just abandoned the run for the second game in a row, just for some reason, just stopped running the ball when it was working so well.
I agree. I mean, that was something I was thinking about too, is the running game wasn't doing bad. Now, I know their average went a little bit higher, probably based on late in the game when they were able to pick up some good chunks on the runs, but they were running effectively in the first half. But it felt like the Saints game, where in the second half, they kind of went a little one-dimensional and were just trying to pass the ball. Now, I don't know if they were getting certain looks that forced them into that, but if it did, it wasn't working because the passing wasn't working. And so that concerned me that, like you said, the offense, especially in the second quarter, was doing some good stuff, and it seems like they went away from it. Also, as far as the offense goes, it seems like the offense was getting hot and cold. It has been a little bit. And today it got like warm for one quarter, and then it was cold for three quarters. And like you said, you know, Laporta and St. Brown did not have great games, and there were some drops. And so I don't know if you put that on the wide receivers, on Goff, a combination of that, but the offense was not good. And maybe some of that goes to Ben Johnson.
Yeah, I think definitely Ben Johnson needs to share in some of that. I think, you know, Aaron Glenn, certainly, you know, the defense was not great. They didn't contain Justin Fields. They didn't do a good job of that at all. I'm not sure what the game plan for that was, because they left the middle open so often. They did a decent job on containing the outside, but it doesn't matter if you do that, if you leave gaping holes for him to run through up the middle just to move up in the pocket when you do get that pressure from the outsides, which they did. They just left him an escape valve.
Yeah, you know, as far as the defense goes, I thought the defense didn't do too bad. But on third and long and fourth and long, I mean, that goes to the discipline that Campbell's talked about. We've seen this a lot, and the Lions give up a big play on third and long or fourth and long. And that is frustrating. So I don't know what the solution is for that or what is causing that. That concerns me. That's frustrating. And I know a lot of people are talking about Aaron Glenn right now. And I got to say, I think he's getting a lot of heat, and I don't get all of it because he didn't make the penalties. The offense scored 13 points in this game, and they turned the ball over and gave it up on downs at their own 31-yard line. And as we talked about earlier, the defense is a middle-of-the-road defense. We have to accept that is where they're supposed to be. And so to expect them to limit Chicago to 10 points, I don't think is realistic. Now, and that's where I think the offense needs to win more. They need to do more on the possession. But they gave up 28 points on short fields and turnovers, and they didn't have the time of possession. So I'm going to put more of this loss on the offense than I am on the defense, because I think the offense has to perform at that higher level.
Oh, for sure. The offense has something to do with this. You know, we've seen this before where the offense is, in the last couple of weeks, turned the ball over and given them short fields. The defense has done okay, but then the defense has also been very porous on third and long, which is unexplainable.
Agreed.
You know, and so they've been good enough to get themselves into third and 13 and then let the other team convert it a lot this season. And especially the last month or so, you know, and on the other hand, I think the officiating was not good. You know, I don't want to cry about officiating or anything, but I'm like, Yeah, I mean, the Lions committed a bunch of those penalties and some dumb ones. But some of the officiating, just some of the rules just are nonsensical to me. Like, why a horse collar in the pocket is not a horse collar. That doesn't make sense to me. Like, why there's an exception for that. But like on the Fields touchdown run, you know, he never had a foot touch in the end zone. He never touched the pylon and he had the ball in the wrong hand. He had it in his right hand. It never went over in over the end zone itself. Why was that never even reviewed?
I did not notice that play. I'm going to have to go back and look at that. The one that got me on the officiating was the non-intentional grounding call. And Coach Campbell was asked about it, and he said, I'm not going to answer that. Because, you know what, it doesn't change the outcome. It's not going to solve anything. I will say, I'm not going to blame the officiating for the loss of this game, but I will say the NFL does have an officiating problem. And I want to be very clear on this.
Yeah.
The officials are human beings, and they can only do as well as they can do in the moment. And I accept that. But the technology is there for them to do some sort of advancement to help correct the mistakes that are made on the field. And so that's where the NFL is lacking. I think the officials do the best they can, and I have the respect for that. But there's got to be something that helps them out. If you and I can see it from home, there's got to be something to help them out, too, with all this replay stuff.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the NFL officials need to be full-time employees of the NFL, not part-timers. You know, I mean, there's too much at stake here for this. I've said this for a long time, and it goes back a long time. That this is something that needs to be done. The officiating needs to be better in the NFL. The officiating did not cost the Lions the win today. But had there not been bad officiating in this game, maybe the Lions could have overcome their own faults in this game and maybe pulled out a win. But the officiating did not help that at all.
I agree with you on that. And again, I've heard from other games and other areas people commenting on the officiating. Hopefully that gets looked into some bit. But let's talk about what we liked out of this game before we go to the storylines and the playoffs. I got two things that I liked, and that's it. I've got the second quarter play, the way they responded after being down 10-0. I like that. And I like the play of Jalen Reeves-Maybin. That stood out to me. He had a nice sack early on. He had a huge pass breakup. You know, he was the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week last week, and so he played some valuable time. Those are some things I liked. Was there anything you liked out of this game?
I liked what the run game did. Aside from one, you know, 5-yard penalty, Coyote Awashika had a pretty solid game, I think, at right guard,
nice.
Filling in, you know, when they had to move Glasgow over to guard because Ragnow was out. So that was decent. The run game as a whole was good. And I liked some of the early different looks, you know, putting Laporta in at fullback and then giving him a carry. just different weird stuff like that to make teams think in the future and you know, to give teams a different look. Other than that, not a whole lot to be excited about in this game.
All right, well then let's switch over to the major storylines that come out of this. You already brought up the fact that Kendall Wilder was in there playing. Ife Melifonwu came into the game. He actually, I think, started. And so you've got some different guys playing on defense coming in there. That might get some talk about. You already kind of brought that up as what that's going to look like next week.
I don't remember seeing Jack Campbell at all. Do you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Jack Campbell actually played quite a bit in this game. And if I'm not mistaken, he was one of the leading tacklers. He had 10 tackles, 6 of which were solo. And I also believe Anzalone had a couple big penalties there in a row, which was not good. But Campbell did do a decent job from what I could tell. I'm not going to say he played as well as last week, but he was in on a lot of things.
Yeah, he may have been in, but I just didn't see him making positive plays. Just, you know, you can make a lot of tackles, but not making positive plays. Barnes seemed to have more of an impact. You know, Barnes had that one massive hit on Justin Fields that was great. You know, Jack Fox had a nice tackle on that one return where he made a shoestring tackle on the returner.
That one was big.
You know, Reeves Maybin had another good game, like you mentioned before. John Kaminsky seemed, after the first quarter and a half or so, Kaminsky seemed to have a pretty solid game too, getting some pressures, getting in on one or two of those sacks that they had, and getting a tackle for loss on another play that I saw.
Well, let's talk about the turnovers then. There were three of them. That's something people are talking about big time. And I think we need to talk about this because, in my opinion, really the only the fumble, that was the only major issue to me. Because one, the first interception was on that downfield pass on fourth down. And so it's kind of like a quasi punt. You're trying to make something happen. And that last interception, it was late in the game in a desperate situation, trying to make something happen, forcing something. So really to me, the fumble's the real turnover. And that was a combination that wasn't just on Goff. I put that on him and on Glasgow. The interceptions, I think, are being a little overblown in this game because I don't think they were simply just bad plays by Goff. And so, I know, do you have the same take as me on those turnovers? They're still bad and not great, but do you have the same similar take?
But I don't necessarily directly attribute those turnovers to Jared Goff. He, you know, the offense was in a bad situation in those. They were both, long yardage plays to pick up a first down where you had to go for it, and the defense knows that you have to do that too. So that takes your percentage way, way down. So those I can understand. The fumble was bad.
Agreed. Yeah, the fumble was bad.
The fumble was just Goff, coming out from underneath center a little early. And that's just an attention to detail mistake. And it cost him a touchdown. You know, the Bears took that possession and went right the other way and scored a touchdown. And and you take that away, and maybe that the Lions could have scored on that possession, and maybe it's a whole different ballgame.
Well, people are talking a lot Jared Goff right now. You see a lot of that on social media. And, you know, I have been a proponent of Jared Goff. I've been a fan of him. And I guess the only thing I would say is I wish he could scramble better. I wish he had that ability in him. I still love his ability as a pocket passer. I think he can throw some very accurate balls. And again, I'm not putting all those turnovers on him, but I also think that, and I'm also saying the weather wasn't the full issue in this either. I just think there were a lot of combinations of him and the receivers not working together. Because you even said it, there were some drops out there, and that didn't help either. There was even one by Jahmyr Gibbs that I thought was going to be a huge gain. Now, it wasn't a super soft touch, but it was a catchable ball. So I want to hear, where are you on Jared Goff right now? How are you feeling about him as the Lions quarterback? Because, again, there's a lot of shade being thrown.
Yeah, which I understand. I mean, this was a disappointing game. I mean, people expected the Lions to come out and win this game, and they didn't. And his performance was not good. I mean, two interceptions and a fumble, a 54 QB rating, which is not good at all.
No. Nope.
And but you look at it, I mean, Amon-Ra had what? Three drops, which I think is probably more than in the rest of his career with the Lions. He was targeted 9 times and only caught 3 of them. Like you mentioned, Gibbs had a drop. When Josh Reynolds is your leading pass catcher, that's not necessarily good.
No, it was not a great game for passing. And also, you know, Goff had some really nice throws in this game, but he wasn't consistently getting them. Now, there's a lot of things that go into that, and quarterbacks get too much credit, get too much blame for wins and losses and whatnot. I don't know what it was that caused him to not play as well. Could it have been wearing a glove? That may have contributed to it. I will say that I was disappointed by the performance. I would have liked to see some things better, but everybody does have games that aren't good or aren't great. I'm going to say, though, I put this on a lot of elements in the offense, the pass catching, the play calling, and on Jared Goff. And so I don't think it's an easy answer. I think sometimes we think the answer is really easy, and I'm a little frustrated. I'm very frustrated by this offense because we have so many talented players on the offense that I expect more out of it. And that's why I think the offense is expected to be the strength. They need to carry the team. I mentioned that earlier. The defense is middle of the road, and that can be okay, but the offense has to live up to its abilities. And so after the game, Coach Campbell was asked, what has changed with this team from the first half to the second half? And here's his response.
I don't feel like there's things going on that are abnormal. You know, like, man, we are in week, what is this?
13.
14.
We're in week 14. So at this point, everybody's, man, everything's out of the bag. For the most part, you kind of got a pretty good idea of what you like to do, what you want to do. You've gone through really three cycles now of self-scout or scouting an opponent. You know, here's what they look like first 4 weeks, next 4 weeks, and then here we are. And by then, you've got a pretty good idea. And that's, we all play that. You know, we do that against our opponents like they do it against us. And so there's not going to be anything easy about, like, I never assume we're going to go into these games. It's like, well, yeah, we're going to win, and we're going to win by 30. Like, that's not the league. The point is, we got to win these games. You just win, baby. Just win. And we didn't do enough to win today. And the idea was to have one more point than this opponent today, and we couldn't do that. So, look, I know that everybody's trying to grasp straws, like, what are we? What is this? I know exactly what we are. We're a team that'll fight, and we got to do things right. Because any little mistake, man, it throws us off now. That's just the type of team we are. And but we got plenty here. We got plenty, and we do things right. We're pretty damn good. So we'll get it cleaned up, man. We'll move on.
So, James, Coach Campbell talked about the games not being easy. He said, you know, we're not going to go in. I'm not going in thinking we're going to win a game 30-0 or something. He goes, I just want to win a game by 1 point. And Coach Campbell still believes they have the talent to win on this team, but that they don't have the ability to make mistakes. So I think he's recognizing there's not a big margin for error with what they have, but he still thinks they have a good team. So where are you with the Lions at 9-4 right now?
I think they got to win at least two of these last four games, minimum. They need the Broncos game next week, and then they need at least a split in the Vikings games, and that's going to be a pretty tough ask to go into Dallas and pull one out there. I mean, Dallas has been destroying teams at home. And I think that expectations got sky high after the really good start in the beginning of the season. And I think fans, started thinking Super Bowl when I don't know that they necessarily should have. And I don't know, maybe we're guilty of that too. I don't know. But, and this team does have some weaknesses, and they're going to have to fix those. It's still a good team. They still have, I think, an incredible chance to make the playoffs, to even host a game. Win a game in the playoffs. And I think at the beginning of the season, that would have been what most Lions fans would have been happy with if that was the outcome. This team isn't doing terrible on the injury side as far as if you look at what other teams are experiencing in the NFL. So they're fairly healthy in comparison to other teams. 12 players on IR doesn't sound good. But if you look at what other teams in the NFL have, man, it's not as bad as what other teams are going through. So Are things, I think it's one of those things where things are never as bad or as good as a lot of people are saying.
I hear you on those points. And, you know, they're 9-4 right now. They started 8-2. They've gone 3-2 since the bye. They are not playing great football right now. And I'm going to put that more on the offense than the defense, because I think the offense has put the defense in some difficult situations with the increase in turnovers. But they have played great football this season. I'm hopeful, I'm optimistic, because we have some potential good reinforcements potentially coming back. You brought that up. You know, if James Houston and C.J. Gardner-Johnson could both come back by the end of this month, and if Aleem McNeil comes back, those could be some really big boosts for the defense. And if Ragnow comes back in a game or two, hoping that happens, that could be big. Now, I said to start the season, the Lions would go 11-6. At that 8-2 start, you talked about all of us getting excited. I bumped it up one game and said 12-5. 11-6 might seem more realistic at this point. I am concerned, but I'm not panicking yet. I really wanted to win this Bears game, because you said it. Those last four games are all against teams with winning records, and so they're not going to be easy games. If we could have taken this Bears game, it would have taken a little bit of pressure off some of those games. And just to have that one extra game buffer would have been really nice. Now I know a lot of people are upset the Lions did not make a big splash at the trade deadline. Well, either the price wasn't right, or they weren't one player away from becoming a dominant team and shooting for the Super Bowl. And so I think you kind of agree with me on that. I mean, the unfortunate truth is a lot of people don't want to hear that. But the team, they're still shooting for the Super Bowl. Don't get me wrong. But they're not going to give up valuable things that could hurt them next year to try and take that shot this year because they're not quite that good. You said they're a good team, but they might not quite be great. So they got four games left. You know, Denver, Vikings twice, Cowboys, they all have winning records. I don't know if 11-6 wins the division. Everyone's talking, are we going to be the one seed, the two seed, the three seed? We got to win the division before any of that matters, James, and that's not a foregone conclusion.
No, they do have their destiny in their own hands in that if they take care of business and beat the Vikings twice, the division is pretty much theirs. The Packers have an incredibly easy end of the season. So there's not a whole lot of room for error here. But you gotta start off by beating the Vikings twice. You've got to beat, you know, the Broncos, but if they can get three out of these last four games, they're in pretty good position still. And I think it's possible. I mean, what we saw with the Vikings today, Dobbs struggled mightily. He got benched. Justin Jefferson hurt, went to the hospital. I mean, and so who knows what his situation is going to be, whether he's going to play again this season anytime soon. So the Vikings could be back into that situation where we thought they were a couple of weeks ago when Kirk Cousins got hurt, where we thought they were going to be pretty bad. And they're looking like that possibly again.
Yeah, I agree with you on the Vikings there. I mean, they won 3-0 over Oakland in a baseball score like ugly game. And so you're right, though. The Packers have a very easy schedule. I agree. If the Lions go 3-1 and finish 12-5, they win the division, right? Because I think that's what the math basically says. And if they go 11-6, that's where things could get a little scary because the Packers have such a soft schedule. I don't know what's going to happen there. And so one game, one week at a time, we were hoping it was going to start with Chicago. They play a game in 6 days against Denver. That's a big game. They got to win that game, regardless of what the Packers do in their upcoming game. So they have a two-game lead, four games left. If we look at the playoff scenarios, the Rams and Seattle both lost today. There's a chance, people have been talking about Stafford facing the Lions in the playoffs. And I got to tell you, a year and a half ago, before the season started, I had this dream scenario that was the Lions would just qualify barely for a wild card position in the playoffs, and they would get to face the Rams in the first round. Well, I didn't realize the Rams were going to fall off so hard from their Super Bowl and not even, you know, make the playoffs either. But I was like, oh, it'd be great because I think the Lions have an up-and-coming team and they could knock the Rams out of the playoffs in an unexpected fashion. Well, now it's like, oh, the Lions are off to the hot start. The Rams could sneak in. Because if you look at this right now with the playoff hunt, the Lions are the number three seed if they win their division. The NFC South would be four. And then you've got Dallas at five. So it'll be Dallas or Philly in that top wildcard spot. Right now, the Vikings and the Packers are in the 6 and 7 spots, followed by the Rams and the Seahawks. I think you have a really good chance that two NFC North teams will be playing each other in the first round of the playoffs. I think there's a very good chance of that. And very likely it will be Detroit and Green Bay. The thing up in the air would be where they play that game. And the Lions are in position to take care of home field advantage, but they got to get the job done.
Mm-hmm. And we saw at the end of last season, the Lions are fairly confident that they can go in Lambeau and win. And they did that earlier this year too. I like their chances. There's probably nobody rooting for the Giants on Monday more than Lions fans, but hopefully that doesn't even come into play if the Lions can just do what they need to do these last four games of the season.
Well, that's the thing. We've seen the Lions have a great record and then kind of slide late in the season, miss the division title, get the wild card, and then have to go on the road. We don't want that repeat. What we really want to see, what us fans need to see, is a correction here. And I think we got the right coach to do it. I think we've got the right players to do it. I do believe the offense is going to have to kick it up another octane here. Because the defense, even if they get reinforcements, and that could be a big help, those are some key players that could come back. We need this offense to realize its potential again in order for the Lions to have success and win this division.
Yeah, the offense needs to be able to go back to what it was the first 8 or 9 weeks of the season instead of what it has been the last month or so. It's put the defense in a lot of bad positions. The defense hasn't helped itself in a lot of those bad positions. You know, and I've been as critical of Aaron Glenn as anybody, but I don't think that it's completely on Aaron Glenn. But the Lions still have the potential here to make this a great season, to be ahead of the schedule that the Lions fans expected to be this year. I think they already are, frankly, way ahead of schedule of where they thought they would be, you know, and they've got the opportunity to get even farther ahead of that schedule, I think, here at the end of the season.
That's an excellent point, because if you look at the state of the team 2.5 years ago compared to where they are now, they are definitely ahead of schedule. So those are some excellent points you bring up. Our expectations went high when the Lions got off to such a hot start. We've got 4 weeks to see if things can get better. We don't have to worry about any crazy weather games these next 4 weeks, so that's not even a thing. James, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
No, I think, you know, I'm hoping to see some adjustments, some changes on defense. Man, if C.J. Gardner-Johnson can come back, man, can that make a difference on that defense. If James Houston can come back, huge difference. I mean, you're going to be missing, at best, you get Aleem McNeil back for the last game of the season now. But that would be huge, too, to get him back, get him a game there at the end of the season, get him up to speed going into the playoffs. He was playing very well. That's another huge spot, you know, losing him.
I agree, James. It's going to be interesting to see how things go when they get some of these players back, if they get some of these players back down the stretch, and if they can make some adjustments on defense and adjustments on offense, because we need that offense to score some more points. That's going to be vital and key. And if they get that offense firing like a V8 engine with some good spark plugs in it, we just might see a very exciting end to this NFL season. Thank you so much for joining the show as usual, James, and thank you so much for tuning in, folks. You can find all the episodes at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button, and while you're at it, tell your friends about the show and please subscribe regardless of your listening platform. Until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.